Alrighty, let me start with a question. Do you as a Christian feel like you're living in a foreign land?
Yes.
And how are we supposed to respond to that? That's what we're going to talk about and discover today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the main verses are verses 11 through 25. But if we start reading verse 11, Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Now we have to consider that in Peter, in the times we're talking about here, things were different. We get into, in the lesson the writer brings out, that Peter is maybe saying that maybe you're a slave. Do we feel like we're slaves today? Are we bound by certain things that make us feel like I have to be a slave to this? Does our government issue certain things upon us that we don't totally agree with, but we're bound by the rule? So are we a slave to our government? But in these days, people were slaves to like the kings and the rulers and things of that nature. But the other key point, and we always talk about this, we have to keep in mind that this old place we're living in today is not our homeland. We're looking forward to the day that comes when we accept and gain what God has promised us, an eternal life in heaven. But how are we to conduct ourselves? As a Christian. But as a Christian, are things presented to you sometimes that you don't like? And they go against your thoughts, they go against your beliefs. Are we still supposed to conduct ourselves in the manner in which God wants us to? Is it easy doing that?
No, because sometimes we're, as Christians, we're the ones on the outside looking in,
mm-hmm.
watching the world around us change, and they don't pay. I mean, we're the outcasts, I guess you could kind of say. We're the ones that are different, and so the world changes, and I think they're leaving us behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this week coming up with Judge Mueller.
Mm-hmm. You know, look what he's facing because he's trying to stand up for what the Bible says, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesbian and gay community has, you know, they filed suit against him, trying to get him kicked out.
But as a Christian, is integrity a part of our makeup? But are the outsiders, the pagans, looking at us as to how we react when something goes against what we believe? Are they looking for something to say, aha, I gotcha. You're not who you say you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in verse 12, right at the end, Peter says, even though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, we could think of two things there. It could be, number one, I'm living a life of sin, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, but all of a sudden I realize my wrongs and I accept God's salvation. He comes and he visits me. But the second part is, we're waiting for God to come and take over. We're waiting for that day when he comes and he brings his justice against the wrong and removes it and takes us home with him. So, the question comes up, why is it important for us to be good citizens and try not to violate any rules? We're supposed to be the example.
When we work like integrity, that's doing the right thing when nobody's looking. And as Christians, we know there's someone with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows if we kind of get off of it, you know. So that the integrity thing, too, is just, that's just the way we live.
But now we get into another avenue, and I think this kind of, these things kind of hit home with things that are going on in the world today. Verses 13 and 14, he says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And in verse 15 he says, but just as he who called you is so holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, can you say that Christians, the reason we submit to things that are going on that we don't like is because of Jesus? Can we totally rely upon that? Because in those days, like you said, they had rulers, they had emperors, they had kings. We have governors today, we have a president that leads our country, and officials that follow unto him. But do they make decisions sometimes that are totally against what we believe in, totally against your belief? But what do we do as Christians? Yeah.
You have to think about sometimes, you have to follow the rules on certain things, even though, you know.
Give Caesar what Caesar's, but give God what God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
True, yeah.
So do we totally submit to their authority?
No.
No?
Would you submit to, what, gay marriages?
No.
You're against it. But the
authority says, okay. And the thought came to me, and I'm not using the analogy, but what if Christians today went out in the streets and protested like other groups do? Is that part of our nature? Are we geared to doing that?
No.
Or do we kind of take the notion that we sit back quietly, we pray, we lean upon God's word, but our voice never gets heard?
We don't have the mob mentality. That's what's going on. Mobs are taking over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, loud is mob. Being loud is not always the right way to go about that. And, you know, the louder, like a mob, it just gets to where, as Christians, I think our greatest stronghold, though, is the prayers that we offer. And we have as Christians, even though we don't think sometimes they are answered, our prayers are answered about our situation,
mm-hmm,
in ways that sometimes we might not ever see.
Well, you know, even Jesus got angry at the money changers in the temple because they were doing, desecrating the temple. So you look back at that and you think, sometimes would we be, you know, justified,
yeah,
and kind of being angry at some of the things that's going on.
Right. Because you don't know that you're being angry about other things, but
yeah.
You didn't show it like you did in the temple.
Is God's overall plan for government, let's say, is his overall plan for the good of the people? And do we feel that way today? I mean, like I said, gay marriages, the homosexual acts, the things like that. All of those go against the Word of God and the teaching of his Word. But in the end, is it going to be changed for the good of people? Or is it going to continue? And, you know, are we going to see, like I said, waiting for his visit to come, is that the day when those who are doing evil are going to be punished?
Well, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. The things are getting as bad as
there.
And God stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the end, God will step in and take care of them.
I think back when television and the media, we all like TV and we think we got to have the media. But I'm old enough, I'm going to sit by and somebody pay up. I remember when you could not hear a cuss word on TV. And the cussing and what they have on TV now, it's really not a movie, it's more filth than anything. Mm-hmm. But I think if the Christian would have rose up back then and nipped it in the bud, as they say, tried to not let them come in with all that cussing and the love scene and the nakedness they have on TV now, it wouldn't be as bad as it is right today.
Well, just like when prayer was taken out of school.
Well, that happened after all that started with the news media. And
then we also remember, you go back to the culture and the scriptures and the history part of this book.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have enough. They had enough. They just, the lions could eat you. They cut your head off. No big deal. They just had enough and it was over. And so people, I think, probably then were maybe a little bit more intimidated. I didn't want to be eaten by the lion because I said something I shouldn't say. So you just, it was cruel. In our eyes, because you think about like PETA and the animals, but in our eyes, the way that was so cruel. But
yeah.
I guess it got their point across.
There was repercussions for you doing
exactly.
There's no repercussion. Do you feel as a Christian that you're working towards and you're engaged in doing the right things? But somebody brings a false charge against you. In your heart, you know you haven't done anything wrong. So how do you act when somebody accuses you of doing something that you know you didn't do? Do you become boisterous?
Oh, I did.
Do you?
You get defensive because, I can't believe that you're accusing me of that.
Do you sit in a court of law with your hands folded and you listen to everything that somebody is just pouring out on your soul and you know that every word is wrong, but you don't say anything? It's hard. But are we promised that all of those actions will be heard and taken into consideration, but there will be counteracted on your behalf? Because this writer says two things. Ignorance implies people who have closed their minds. I try to think about that. How can you just totally close your mind to everything that's going on around you and live a normal life. You have to go to work. You have to obey a supervisor at work. But if you go in closed-minded, I'm just going in today and I'm sitting behind the desk and turning on the internet, I'm not working. Well, what's going to happen? You're going to get written up, you're going to get fired, you're going to get reprimanded. Well, but you just still sit there and say, well, I'm okay. I don't understand all this.
But don't you think sometimes people that are closed-minded are people that feel like they're safe if they're within their own little thing?
No.
I don't have to deal with anybody or anything, and I'm safe. Just me. I'm not worried about anybody else.
But when that person goes out then and reacts and does something, and they don't feel like they need to be punished because I didn't do anything wrong, but yet still here's an authority of government telling me I did wrong, and we clash and we have problems. Because he says also, he talks about foolish people. Those are people who are willfully opposed to God. I hate to say it, but are there a lot of foolish people in the world today? Now, verses 16, where it says, be holy because I'm holy. Well, you can tie that into what they call an oxymoron, saying something such as, well, he was an honest thief. A thief is not honest. Or, this writer brings out, jumbo shrimp. Well, yes, shrimp come in different sizes, but what is a jumbo shrimp? Shrimp is a shrimp. But he talks about, in verse 16 says, as God's slaves, live as free people. But don't use your freedom as a way to conceal evil. Do you feel like you're a slave to God, being a Christian?
That's like asking, do you fear God? You do fear God, but you don't fear in like the dark.
Mm-hmm.
You respect Him.
But he plays off on that. If you say, I read these three words as God's slaves. But then he comes back and tells you, but live as a free people. Well, what are we a slave to? Is being obedient to His word, being conscious of His word, living the life He wants us to live, are we being slaves, or are we just being obedient? And by being obedient, then we can be free people.
But see, mine says bondservant. I don't say slave.
Yeah. But do we take advantage of our freedom? I'm a Christian. I'm okay. I do everything right. I'm a good person. You didn't see what I just did.
I'm a bad person. I'm not saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But we do go that people, and I mean, we're guilty of this. I did this wrong, but I know that I can be forgiven because I'll ask Him for not forgiving for taking the money or blah, 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 you know.
Forgiveness and bells.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm taking the money to feed or do something for myself, please forgive me for taking it from somebody else. And as Christians, we have done that. We do that sometimes. We know. Because the Bible teaches us too, if you know what your sin is, you're not supposed to sit around and just keep doing it and asking for forgiveness.
All the time.
Change your heart.
Mm-hmm. Now, verse 17, and I think we may have read that. So since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. There's four things I think we can come out of this verse. Number one, we should honor everyone. Is that difficult? Because, like we said before, if somebody mistreats you because of who you are, it's hard to take that. But yet still, is it hard to then honor that person? Or by honoring them and still being a friend to them, do we have hope that in some way they'll see how I react to certain things and they'll see exactly what I stand for?
You can use the example as a parent. I mean, how angry do you get when somebody harms your child?
Mm-hmm.
Or how comes at your child or something. We are a child of God. So how angry does he get when, as Christians, we are taken advantage of or hurt because of a non-Christian, let's say. So he hurts for us, but we hurt for our own children.
Mm-hmm. Point two is love the brotherhood. We're all brothers and sisters in God's family, but do we get to pick and choose who we like? I mean, we're Southern Baptists. Do we hate the Methodists, the Catholics?
No.
No, we shouldn't. It can get into race relations. And I think that's a situation that I would say a lot of us, there have been a lot of major changes in that, is we're all children of God, regardless of who we are. And we should show...
And he doesn't see color.
No. No. No.
I've got a few people that I don't dislike them, but I don't like their ways. But I don't dislike them, but I feel like them. So I don't get around them.
Sometimes I think you can keep your friends, but you can't keep your family. You can't.
But we're also to fear God. And we've talked about this in past Sundays. Should we walk each and every day, thinking about, I need to fear God today? Should that weigh heavily on our minds? Or should it just be a part of our makeup that each day I'm going to live how he wants me to live? That's my fear of him, my respect for him. And then it says, honor the emperor, but honor the government leaders. And he makes a statement, because it says, honor for government leaders cannot ever cause us to violate fear of God and love for fellow believers. They can't ever take that away from us. They can try.
My Bible says we must obey government authorities unless their requirements conflict with the laws of God.
Right. Because he asked this question, and you, if I ask this question to you, your relationship with the government is what?
How about just unsettled?
Unsettled.
I still pray for
him. Because he just makes a comment, and I don't know if I totally agree with it, but he says, if your answer is anything other than submission, then what is your rationale for thinking the way you think? Should you change your attitude to the authorities that are over you? But verses 18 and 19 to 20, he says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Now, we've talked about the workplace, honoring God. I won't say I've ever worked in a place, but possibly some of us have, to where you just didn't like your supervisor. You didn't like the rules and regulations that they put before you. But in order to keep that job, you better be submissive. You better be respectful of it. If not, what's going to happen? They're going to come talk to you. They're going to come write you up. They're going to tell you what you're doing wrong. And if you don't change, you're out.
Well, it's like when I worked at Brockman. That's where I got saved. I was working at Brockman. That was a hard place to work. Well, the union contract stated if it was against your religious belief to work on Sunday, then you didn't have to work.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we had three girls in the whole plant that took off on Sundays. After I got saved, I took off on Sunday. Every Monday they called me in the office and wrote me up. Every Monday. They would make an example out of me. I wound up going to arbitration in Atlanta for the whole union throughout the state. I won. Before I won, I quit going through stress, just got the best of me. I had a new baby. And I finally quit. But I won. You know, because that was in the union. But the supervisor was really hard on me. He wasn't a Christian. And he said, I've got one question. Support. He said, your shop steward takes off every Sunday and goes to church. When we go to the office and I write you up, she never defends you. Why? I said, it's very simple. She's another denomination. And she thinks she's going to heaven. And nobody else is. So she's not going to defend me. She does not believe I have a right because I don't belong to her denomination. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's amazing. I can't believe that. That was the way it was.
Well, I was blessed when I worked for Thompson Insurance for 27 years because my boss was a Christian and that agency was run on a Christian basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no complaints about
yep.
it. It was a great place to work.
It means a lot when you have that around you. But now, here's a comment this writer makes. Do you believe that patient endurance of injustice pleases God? Because he says believers can take this attitude because of our confidence that in the end, with God, all things will be made right.
And for Tom, the scripture said everything is in his time.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayers, even though we need them answered, we feel like as soon as they leave my mouth, the problem should be solved. I should turn around. But as Christians, we're told over and over, everything is in His time. Our prayers, the way the world is, it's on His time schedule and not ours. I mean, we do forget that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to pray for the election. We're going to vote. And then when the vote's over, what we pray for is going to have happened, so tomorrow's a new day. But it's going to be in His time, regardless of what our prayers are and who we pray for, to fill anything that's open, any voting thing that's open. It's still going to be His time, and as Christians, that's where patience comes
from.
Mm-hmm. You have to be still and listen.
Because verse 20 in the book, I mean, it says, for what credit is there if you sin and are punished and you endure it? But when you do good, when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, it brings favor with God. And he closes out with, and this is Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. It says, you are blessed when they insult and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. So, a lot of thought today about things, how we should react. Ms. Lee.
I remember when Dr. Shader came and worked at Forensics out there, and he was Cairo, Egypt. They're just too soft on crime over here. It's too soft. I said, well, Dr. Shaker, what do you do with people over there in Egypt that murders and kills and steals?
Get rid of them.
He said, when you're found guilty, he said, you don't sit in prison 20 years. He said, you took your debt with right then and there. He said, it'll take you out and cut your head off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Good lesson, Oliver.
Thank you.
Anybody happy, Oliver? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week is about submission to
wife. I'm not. I won't. You'll be teaching next Sunday, not me. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.